Okay. Thank you. And just so everybody knows, in terms of personnel matters, the top salaries of the network are on our 990s, so they are a matter of public record. In general, we do not discuss salaries of people below that level, but this is a matter of public record. Lydia, can you read the...
Yes, it says salary rate, salary range, colon, starting salary, $80,000, negotiable depending on experience.
Okay, so the motion would be to change that to $100,000 negotiable depending on experience, and Bob's substitution would make it $90,000 minimum.
Correct.
Okay, so just to clarify, that says minimum, it's not a cap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just Ray, I'd like to speak in favor of the amendment.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that's right. Ray had asked. First. So
just
go
as
ahead,
Bob
Ray.
Said, for us, not only Bob talked about the practical question of being in difficult times, I think it's also a symbolic issue there of fairness. For example, within the labor movement, we have two models. We have labor so-called leaders receiving $250,000 and who have organizers starting at 30, and we have other unions where somebody, the leader, might receive, I don't know, $90,000 or $100,000, and the organizers start at $60,000. One sharp example of this reality is 1199 SEIU in New York City, which is a union within 10 years went from 50,000 to 300,000 members when their executive vice president were making less than organizers in other unions. So to me, there's not a direct correlation. I understand the point made by different individuals that this is a very serious position, and I agree that it is indeed so. And maybe we should find a way to assist the executive director in that difficult task. But I don't think there's a direct correlation between the remuneration received by the executive director and the kind of individual that we have. We don't pay more to get top. We don't get better results the more money we put into this process. And that's why, for me, symbolically, I think, besides the practical result, we should maintain it at a level that is commensurate with the ridiculously low salary received by the staff. I saw a figure, I don't even know if it's true, that I heard recently that at WBI, for example, that the collective pension expenses was something like $6,000 for the whole staff. So this is this kind of scale, the proportion that I'm talking about. That obviously we have to do better, but we have to go in a more unified way and be able to raise the salaries as we do better and as we be able to raise the salaries of other members of that organization.
Okay. Michael, did you want to speak in favor or opposed to the substitute?
I want to just ask a question, point of information.
Go ahead.
Or maybe I'm speaking opposed to both of them. But I find it very difficult to make up my mind about this if we don't have a method.
You're breaking up, Michael. Can you...
Yeah, I keep hearing an echo.
Well, he's breaking up, and I'm losing half the words, half the syllable.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Oh, this is freaky. Anyway, there's no methodology, a method to figuring out what the salary should be. If we plug numbers into a website, that doesn't really give me much comfort about the legitimacy of the total salary. So if people are sitting around kicking around numbers without a method for figuring out just how much the salary should be, then it's difficult for me to vote for the increase.
This is Lydia, if I may.
Go ahead, and then I'd like to ask Lonnie's comments on just the financial side
of
it.
Okay. Just to say that we also, there was a step that I skipped. In addition to the input we got from all of the search, from most of the search firms that we dealt with, all of whom thought the salary was too low, that we also were asked to contact people that we knew were executive directors of comparable nonprofits. That means in terms of budget and size, geography, et cetera. And so we all, those of us that checked, and certainly I did, that I found that that was the range. Actually, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be higher, so just so you know. But that was the range for nonprofit with that kind of a budget responsibility and with several either chapters or whatever that would require some traveling and distant oversight, et cetera. So those were the EDs that we also contacted. So it was input from the search firms and headhunters, and the actually squaring on our own various EDs. The website was just something because we had at least a couple of people that said to go to a couple, referred us to a couple of websites that could also help us in terms of determining what that was. So that was just like a backup check that I personally inputted our resume requirements.
Okay, we're winding down to time on this, but Lonnie, can you comment the financial impact of this?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you go ahead and comment on it?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly true that a salary of around $100,000 will attract more candidates. The question is, how many at this point? Who would that be? It's a tough question. My view is that that if we have the language in a range from 90 to whatever, 100,000, then we can see what kind of candidates we have. If the candidates merit 100, we pay them 100. If they, in our experience, should be started at 90 and give them some goals to reach 100, that's usually how these kinds of situations are resolved. So it would be 90 to 100, depending upon experience. And then the board itself can make the decision as to what any candidate that offered the position would be worth. So that's one way of looking at the situation. Sorry, I'm in a busy place with a lot of noise. I apologize.
We're all having that problem. Thank you.
Dave, okay. Is there another minute? Rip Robbins here.
There actually is one more minute. So go ahead, Rip.
Okay.
I would like to say, especially because this is a public meeting about discussion of salaries for the executive, that I've heard directors talk about fairness in labor practices. I've heard directors talk about a natural cost of living increases that would be given to an executive director. But yet I'd like to tell the listeners on the call that a majority of board members voted to hold the salary at the $80,000 level as far back as January, and that I'm really surprised right now to hear that the chair of the Personnel Committee is only now finding out that the salary levels were too low. When Greg proposed his renewal of his contract, he only asked for a $3,000 increase, and a majority of board members in executive session voted against it.
You're out of order. Excuse me. You're out of order, and you're violating confidentiality of executive session.
He has my permission.
No, you can't do that.
Mr. Chair?
I have the permission of the board to violate the confidentiality of the board's deliberation.
No.
We're at time, and if we would like any further time on the matter, that we there needs to be an extension of time.
Would like to extend time for 10 minutes. This is LaVarne.
To extend time for 10 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, we'll take another 10 minutes. LaVarne, I believe you are next.
Yes. Thank you. Basically, I think that in terms of the 90,000, I think that's what we're speaking to now, would be 90,000 are negotiable, the same language that we have before. And the point I would like to make is that, without violating a closed session, a confidentiality, that we have an executive, and that executive is leaving. And to just jump to 20,000 more versus this executive is just not the appropriate thing to do. And the point that Bob had made is valid, that you look at corporations in Japan versus the U.S. and you see the multiple in terms of the bottom, the, I'm sorry, the person with the lowest salary or the lowest on the rung versus the highest paid, and you look at that multiple. If you're looking at three times as much or two times, well, it'll be three times as much. You know, I think that reflects poorly on the foundation. However, the point about negotiable, I think, would allow, if the person has this extraordinary talent, extraordinary experience, would allow the salary up to $120,000. So, but to ordinarily just jump that up based on this executive who's leaving, it's artificial. I don't think we have it in the budget at this time, and that I would be willing to support the $90,000 and negotiable. Thank you.
I have a point of order, David.
Yes.
When you ask what the board's opinion on is whether we would allow the member to violate executive session with the permission of the person whose salary is being discussed, and we're all on mute because we're trying not to echo, you know, we're trying to not add to the confusion. We need a little more time if that's the ruling, and if, you know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The ruling was not that it's up to the discretion of the board to allow a member to violate the confidentiality of executive session. The fact that the ED might grant the member the right to discuss issues of his salary has nothing to do with the commitment every member makes in a confidential session to hold confidentiality.
You asked the board if they would allow the member to violate executive session, and we didn't have time to respond.
That's not what I did. Not what I did. I did not ask the board whether it wanted to. I was raising the point that it's not up to the ED to grant the right of a member to violate executive session, even if the ED has no objection to him discussing the matter of his related to the personnel issue.
That isn't what I heard, but I'm willing to let this go on.
Can we move?
Mary Burroughs, I have a point of information.
Go ahead, Mary.
In view of what Lydia read as the language, this is the starting thing, and it's negotiable. Does she have a strong feeling about starting at 90 versus starting at 100? Because if she does not, if the maker of the motion does not, perhaps we could simply start at 90. My own feeling is, since it is negotiable,
I think that Bob would simply have to amend the wording as the range. If he'd be open to it?
No, I don't believe he would, because the motion is to change the number listed, and so the language around that number is not being suggested.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to make an amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to make a substitute.
Wait, okay.
And I want to be on the stack.
I don't have my answer yet. Correctly,
so
we're only talking about a starting figure, whether it's 100 or whether it's 90. And the rest of
what Lonnie recommended, which was
well,
90
a whole
to 100, negotiable.
But that's a different thing.
I want to get the answer. The maker of the motion, would the maker of the motion support the substitute by a letterer?
I have a substitute, Mr. Chair.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. I would support 90 to 100 negotiable depending on experience. I think that's the way that Lonnie had recommended.
That's fine.
Okay, well, that's not a motion on the floor as yet.
Mr. Chair, I have a substitute.
Darvin Ambrose, I heard you both at the same time.
Oh, Ambrose, go ahead.
I didn't even know Ambrose was here.
Okay, Ambrose, Sarv has yielded to you. Go ahead.
I think that the language should be 90,000 negotiable, not to exceed 100.
I second that.
Okay, there's a second substitute motion. Can you repeat it, Ambrose?
90,000 negotiable, not to exceed 100.
Do you mean negotiable depending on experience?
Of course.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, are those motions identical, essentially?
No, because Bob's substitute doesn't specify a cap. Ambrose's specifies a cap.
Yeah. And this is also, may I ask a question?
I meant that this motion of Ambrose is identical to the motion in function to the motion that Lydia made.
No, it isn't. But I have a question. So the way it reads right now, Ambrose, is salary range, starting salary, $80,000. So you're saying change that to $90,000, negotiable depending on experience, not to exceed $100,000?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. We're running out. We're almost out of our 10 minutes. But there's time if someone would like to speak opposed to the substitute.
This is Bob. I have another amendment.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
We have two substitutes before us, unless we can dispense with one of them or have one withdrawn.
Well, can I just say the concept that rather than offering the amendment right now?
Go ahead.
I really think it would defeat the whole point of what I offered if it could go up to 100. So I would make the cap 95.
Okay. So if the substitutes are all defeated, then we would be able to consider your proposal. So
point of order.
We're at the time. Yes, Don.
Yeah, I'm just inquiring about Robert's rules of order, which limit the number, I think, of amendments. So I believe Bob's amendment is out of order, because don't we already have a full slate under Roberts?
Yes, we do, and that's what I pointed that out, and he agreed to it. He was just telling the board what he would like to propose if this is defeated. If the existing substitutes are defeated, then we could entertain an additional motion. We can't do that until we take a vote on those that are before us.
All right, thank you.
This
okay,
is Lydia.
So we're at time.
Okay, I move to extend by 5 minutes. I have a question. We may have to postpone this, in my opinion.
Is there a second to the motion to extend time for 5 minutes?
I second
it, Ray.
Okay, is there any objection?
Here's my concern.
Hold on. Is there any objection? Okay, hearing no objection to the extension of time. Go ahead, Lydia.
My concern is that this has already been posted, so it did not seem to violate anything to increase the starting salary. It seems to me that if you put a cap after the fact, and we're set to interview the top eight candidates right now, that to put a cap on something when we have previously said it was only a starting salary, negotiable depending on experience, would be problematic, and I think would need to be run by our HR director and counsel. I would be concerned about that. So if we need to postpone this, so be it, unless someone comes up with a solution.
Are you making a motion to postpone?
How extensive advertising have we been done on the 100,000?
Because of its very nature, you're increasing it, which was something that was not limited to begin with by your original advertising.
What was the advertised figure?
The advertised figure was $80,000, but negotiable with no cap in it. My concern is, can we now go back and put a cap in the middle of advertising for the same position for which we are set to interview candidates? That may not be a problem, but since we have to set another meeting anyway, that perhaps we can add that to that meeting. So I'm moving to postpone.
Are you moving to postpone to our next teleconference, Lydia?
Yes, I'm moving to postpone to our next teleconference so we can get advice from HR and counsel.
Okay. We have like 2 minutes left in the 5 minutes extended. Would anybody like to speak to oppose to the motion to postpone?
I don't understand what the problem is. Because all we are doing is saying that there will be an increase in the base salary, and it will be negotiable up to a set dollar limit. I mean, what's the problem?
My concern is that if we were going to put a cap, we should have done that at the beginning to increase the base.
Not required to do that.
It's not arguable. Well,
not
I would like to have...
Hold on, folks. I'd rather not have some
okay.
crosstalk. Is there anybody
yeah.
else
okay.
who would like to speak before we move to a vote on the motion to postpone?
Mary Berg.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mary.
I thought myself it was very problematical to start putting a cap in when we already have candidates, and if I understand that they're already ready to interview at least eight.
Mary, we're actually
I agree that we should postpone. I would like us to do that because we're not going to be settling this in the next 2 minutes.
So we're at time, and we're going to. Is there an objection to the postponement? Hearing no objection to postponing, then the matter's postponed to our next meeting, which we're going to decide on shortly. But first, we've tabled the election supervisor item, so I'm going to now call the election supervisor again, and I will be back on with him in just a moment.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I didn't know if I was still muted.
But I don't know if anyone else is present who was here after the roll call. Ambrose apparently is. Can I take this chance to ask if anyone else is on this call?
I'm not on this
call. Who was not on in the beginning? What?
I'm not on this call.
Well, I have a T-shirt for you, but I think about it later.
To find it.
A T-shirt will say, no matter what
you
think.
Okay, so everybody, we have the National Election Supervisor back. And the question before us, Casey, is relating to the extending the number of hours from 120 to 160 per month for your job position. And if you could comment on that. Actually, Lydia, did you want to introduce it before he speaks, or should we just go straight to Casey?
Yes, just to let Casey know, I had already said that the election supervisor works far more than 120, probably more than 160. But there was a question from one of the members saying, well, what are you going to do with those extra hours, or what are you doing with those extra hours?
And just so you know, I think there was also a question of whether it would be superior to give this position, or a suggestion had been made in Finance Committee about whether instead an assistant might be needed.
We never heard that before. Oh, okay. This is the first I've heard about an assistant. My motion was just simply to increase to 160.
Okay, well, that's the motion we're discussing. So did you want to address that?
Certainly. I can guarantee you that I'm putting in a lot more than 160 hours a month. This isn't just it certainly isn't a part-time job, and it isn't just a full-time job. It's a full-time plus overtime job. And I'm glad to do it. I am committed, certainly, to the Pacifica mission and to the idea of democratic governance for our foundation. I'll say that I have personally had some financial struggles and am still doing so. For instance, I can't afford a $100 part for my 21-year-old Toyota pickup truck. And so I'm hoping that at the next paycheck, maybe I'll be able to get that fixed. It's my own vehicle. But I have the option of, in my contract, of doing additional work for other organizations. I would prefer not to. I'd prefer just to focus on my Pacifica work. I did actually do 4 days of credentials work for the California Gift Show at the LA Convention Center last month because I needed the extra money. And that, of course, took away from time that I could have been putting into this job. The question of an assistant? Well, I frankly would like to have assistance for all my local election supervisors. That's a very tough job, and these people are really, you know, giving it their all, and the nature of the job is that because it's temporary and occasional, it means that new people come in with a stiff learning curve, and it makes the whole process much more difficult because the new people do have to learn as they go along. That's just the nature of the process. But I just had to point out to you that we owe a lot to these people coming in and being willing to do a hard job for really inadequate compensation.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Casey before we continue deliberating the motion?
A couple of questions, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, who's speaking? Is that you, Sarf?
Lonnie speaking.
Oh, is that Thomas?
Lonnie,
okay, got it.
Casey?
Yeah, Lonnie, I can barely hear you. Could you speak up a bit?
Okay, Casey, can you hear me better now?
Okay, go ahead.
Casey, two or three quick questions. When would it start? Would it start September 1st? And how long would it go? When would it end? December 31st, January 31st?
Are you talking about hiring assistants? Are you talking about the...
No, we're just considering the question of extending the hours.
Right, or recognizing some of the hours that I'm working. I feel that it should probably start as of the passage of the motion at the last PNB meeting, but that's up to PNB to determine now. It's not up to me.
So I can be clear. I did do the calculations, and I want to see, Casey, if we both agree. Add an additional $1,000 per month and $5,000 totally, assuming 5 months, through January 31st. Is that the assumption you're working with as well?
Did you hear that, Casey?
Yes, my job description keeps me on until January 31st. I feel that... one of the things I'm trying to do in this job is to save money in the process, and I think that in the end you'll see that I've not cut corners, but found ways to spend less money. For instance, $6,500 was spent on graphic design and layout in the last election cycle, and I intend to do the work myself in order to, it's pretty simple, straightforward work that I am pretty adept at doing. But and there's other expenses that can be cut, and I think that we can free up some money in that way.
Just one last question. You know, you had mentioned to me about the situation at WBAI where the local election supervisors might indeed for assistance. I'm asking, will you be bringing other requests for assistance for the local station supervisors, or is that something you don't have on your agenda?
Well, what we have agreed on is that we will hire somebody to assist him on September 25th and November 15th, the 2 days when it's necessary for somebody to be in the station for long hours, and those happen to be days when he's in graduate school and cannot be there the entire time. If there's additional help needed administratively, we'll deal with that as it arises. So that would be yes. We'd want to hire somebody for those 2 days, perhaps the former election supervisor or somebody else who's clearly a neutral.
Okay. Anything further?
Oh, yes, this is LaVarne. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, LaVarne.
Speaker. Casey, thank you very much for coming on the call. But the question, it, you know, I understand what you've just said, and I hope everything works great for you. But in terms of, I know last year, during the like really intense part term of the election that, you know, a person, I mean, with less, I mean, if he spent 36 hours a day in on the job, it wasn't enough. He really needed someone there to help him get work done, because there is constant emails coming in. So let me just ask, I mean, for that intense period, like beginning now, I mean, and then maybe consider after this period is over in terms of raising the hours, but for this period, during this intense period, maybe over the next 3 months, would the assistant really help? And then we would consider raising your hours once this intense period is over as far as the election. I mean, this, how does, I mean, I just want to run that by you.
Yeah, well, certainly an assistant would help. I will say that my wife, Marilyn, has been helping and is well aware of what's involved since she helped me both in 2003 and 2006 in the KPFK elections, that she understands the intensity that we're going to face between September 25th and, well, particularly that whole week of trying to get the 10 different candidate booklets prepared for the printers and getting them, you know, printed and mailed in a timely manner. That is absolutely the most intense period. And then throughout the campaign process as well, there's obviously fair campaign provision violations and all kinds of administrative things and missing ballots, that kind of thing, that really takes up a heck of a lot of time. Marilyn has, you know, committed herself to helping me with that, but that's basically as a volunteer. Certainly, I think that we need to revisit the way this whole process is working. I think that in reality, maybe having, and of course it's more expensive, but I think that assistance on the local level might be more effective. But I would certainly, you know, be able to make use of somebody in my job. However, you know, I'm already committed to doing it full time, overtime, and like I said, Marilyn is there backing me up. So. Like Don White said in April, you're really getting two for the price of one.
Okay, well, we're just about at time, so if there are no other questions from the board, I'd like to go back to the board deliberation. Is there anything else from the board? Okay, hearing none, thank you very much, Casey, and we'll let you know how it turns out.
Thank you all. You know, I know that you're all working as volunteers, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. The importance of the work you're doing is beyond measure. And, you know, regardless of what happens, I'm dedicated to helping the Pacifica Foundation, you know, do what it needs to do and hopefully do a better job in the future.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Keep up the good work, everybody.
Point of information?
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you sound kind of distant, Dave. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or something.
Is this better?
A little bit better.
But not a lot.
Really? All right. Well, I'll go get off my headset and get right up on the phone then. Okay. Hang
on a second. Is everybody getting this echo?
Just a moment here.
Yes, it's been there.
Okay, is this better?
Hello? Yeah, better. Somewhat
better.
Okay. And could you repeat mute?
Is better.
Repeat mute, too.
Star 6 is mute. All right, so we got to move to a vote on this. Then we have time. I'll entertain one comment for and one opposed before we go to the vote. without asking for extension of time. Is there anybody who would like to speak opposed to increasing the number of hours for the NES? Okay, hearing no debate in opposition, then I'd like to ask whether there's any opposition to it. Okay, if there's no opposition, then that motion is adopted. All right, so then I believe that, oh, yeah, that takes us to now the question of the venue for the PNB meeting, the in-person PNB meeting, and we'll have 15 minutes for this. Greg, do you want to, or Lonnie, who should present this? Oh, well, actually, let me present on part of it. What we can do, my understanding is that the question of the order in which we visit the stations to hold our business meeting is in the form of a rule of order. And therefore, with a special rule of order, I believe with two-thirds, we can alter that. However, we can't do things like change the fact that we would not visit a given station. In other words, if we flip the order in which we visit a station, that's okay. But you can't say, okay, well, we're going to skip New York, because that would actually be a material change as opposed to just a change in the order in which we did business. So there's been a proposal, I've heard two proposals actually, based on the notion that we may not be able to get accommodations reasonably in the New York Signal area because of the UN conference. One suggestion had been that we go to Houston, and the other that we go to Berkeley. Berkeley is the next on the list after New York, so we could exchange New York and Berkeley. Houston, we've been to two meetings ago, but I believe there were arguments in favor of doing Houston. Again, in any given space of time, we can't be giving one signal area more visits than others. So we'd have to make that up on the other end. But who would like to present a motion on venue?
Murray Berg, I have a point of information, I guess.
Yes. Actually,
before we
take that vote, I'd like to hear from Greg on that issue. What's that, Mary?
My question is, would we really seriously be considering going to Houston when we just went there and it's hurricane season? Would we really want to do this? Is anyone wanting to do this?
I'm going to call that debate rather than a...
Well, I just want to know, is that a real proposal from anyone?
Well, we haven't heard it yet. I had seen it in email. But, Greg, can you address this question before we open it for a motion?
Yeah, based on talking with Donna and watching all the email traffic, I think you have two realistic options. One is the Berkeley area. It doesn't have many union facilities. That's an issue. That we've contacted three union hotels, and we have not received response from all of them, but we may be able to get a union hotel in the Berkeley area. We don't know that for a fact, but certainly we can get something. That's one option. The other that just came up within the last 24 hours, and I believe Wendy knows about this as well, is this discussion of possibly using a combination of a hostel, the Central Park Hostel, in association with the St. John the Divine as a location for the meeting. This is much more basic accommodations. This would be a lot cheaper. Donna said that she could make the arrangement if we wanted to go with the hostel. Now, whether we could get, twin beds and all shared rooms, or whether people would have to be in 6 or 8 or 10 bedroom dorms, we don't know the answers to that question, and we do know there's no elevator. So we're talking about pretty basic accommodations and some travel between that and the St. John the Divine. Those are the two serious options that I see at this point. I don't consider Houston a serious option because of a number of things, the hurricane season being one of them, the order and the like. And the staff knows about the Berkeley option and would recommend that based on what they know at this point. Lonnie, you got anything you want to add to that? Ron, you there?
No. I think the Berkeley works just fine, so assuming we can find accommodation.
Can I get on the stack, please?
Yeah, we don't have a stack, so you're in.
Okay. Greg, I thought I just heard you say that at the hostel in New York that there are no elevators.
That's correct. That's what I've been told.
So I just want to know, then, how does that fit in with being the ADA and being accessible to people?
Absolutely. That is one of a number of problems that you would have. We don't really even know what that facility looks like. We just know that it's near St. John the Divine as a location. It's affordable. In fact, it's cheap, but it probably would not be very accessible.
I believe the point about accessibility relates to where we hold meetings, not where we actually stay.
That's a good point, too. I don't know. I couldn't answer that in relationship to the church either.
This is Lydia.
Mary Burke.
And Wendy.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
What are we talking about with cost? Do you have an idea?
In terms of the hostel?
Yeah, I guess both, hostel and Berkeley.
Berkeley, I couldn't tell you at this point because we haven't received responses from some of the hotels. Lonnie could tell you what it's cost in the past. He probably has a better memory. As far as the hostel is concerned, if you were in 6, 8, or 10-bed dorm rooms, it would be quite inexpensive, be $28 per night. If you're in twin-bed rooms with a shared bath, it's $85 a night. It's the cheapest beds in town, and apparently we could make some arrangement, although I don't know who would be in dorms or whether you'd get shared rooms. And it's $750 a day for St. John the Divine. What we don't know is we're not sure about the availability of that. So this is somewhat tentative, but if you wanted us to go in that direction, we'd have to move fast to see whether it was even possible. I just felt obligated to mention that as an option. I do think Berkeley is the simpler choice, but it is more expensive.
Okay. I heard Lydia, Wendy,
Evelyn had a point of information.
Mary, point of information.
I wanted to know roughly how far is the St. John from the hostel?
I can't really tell you that. Central Park and St. John the Divine, somebody from New York would have to answer that question.
I'm trying to figure out how much time it would take.
I don't have that information yet.
Right?
This just came in the last 24 hours.
Okay, we don't need to do that until we have a motion on that, really.
I can look it up while you talk.
Recognize Doc, because Doc hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's almost, it's very difficult to kind of make a decision on it without knowing what area it's in and the conditions of, you know, I'm willing to do a whole lot, but I also want to know that I'm safe. And I'm not really big on hostels, so that might be a problem for me. And so I, you know, without really knowing a lot about it in terms of what it looks like, the area, it's kind of hard to say, yeah, that's a great idea. Because price is not the all-determining factor. It's important, but it's not everything.
So the Cathedral of St. John the Divine is at 111th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. Somebody else might comment to that.
Hey, Lydia?
Yes. My question was if can we consider, given that when we stay in Houston, we stay at non-union hotels, can we allow the latitude if we decide to go by way of whatever we decide to go, whether it's Berkeley or New York, I would favor Berkeley, but at this juncture. But anyway, that we waive, as I think it was Greg who said that, as the staff mentioned, that is an option also, waive the union requirement given the circumstances as an option for this one meeting. We have stayed at non-union hotels in the past, and I would like to make that as a motion when it's appropriate. But first we need to decide on the city, I guess.
When?
And add Bob to the stack, please.
I would second Lydia's motion, knowing that we have one of our radio stations that doesn't even have union organization for the staff here at all. It always bothers me when we when we make this the biggest requirement that it has to be a union hotel. We need to, I think that more important, if there's only a certain number of union hotels, and I think the more important requirement is that we meet according to the schedule and the bylaws. They made that schedule for a reason. The previous board used to just decide to hold the meeting somewhere else if there was too hostile of an audience in one of the cities. So we have a bylaws requirement that says that we do the order before we do another station twice. And so I really object to Houston being one of them. It's just so recent, and I'm glad to hear that now the choices seem to be between New York and Berkeley. I guess, let me just say this. We had really, really fancy and nice accommodations when we met in L.A. That was nice, and I appreciate why that had to be chosen, because it's a union hotel, and it's, you know, simpler to have everything all in one place, and we really appreciate the accommodations we had there in L.A. The St. John the Divine is a place that Pacifica has used, I think, a couple of times, and $750 a day is a much better deal than what we pay for meeting rooms at any of the hotels that we go to, as far as I know, anyway. So, you know, one thing that we have going for us in New York is that they have public transportation, and they have lots of places to eat. I think that it's great that when we're provided with three meals a day right there in the place that we are, but that costs an awful lot of money, and most of us don't even eat that much food normally, and we end up eating an awful lot of food, and I don't know, you know, it's just like we owe it to New York to go there, because we have a station there that's having more trouble than all the other stations, and the PNB should not be going the other way. We should be there in New York and be able to hear from the staff and the listeners there that are expecting their turn right now. So that was why, I think that we should try and be a little more creative. I know it's really hard for the national staff to organize it if there's
Wendy,
a lot of detail.
You've been speaking well over 2 minutes now. If you could come to a point, that would be helpful.
I think it should be in New York City.
Okay, we're at a point where we've exhausted a great deal of time, and we don't have a motion before us, so I'm not going to recognize any other debate without a motion. Bob, do you have a motion?
No, I had a point about St. John the Divine.
Okay, I'd like somebody to offer a motion.
Okay, this is Lydia. I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
My motion is to hold the September-October meeting in Berkeley and to waive the union requirement if necessary, only if necessary.
Second.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
A second.
Okay. And actually, I based on what I said earlier, I would like to ask that it be specified that we are talking about extending the order of the New York and Berkeley meetings so that it's not just that the fall meeting is in Berkeley, but then the winter meeting will be in New York.
Yes, I will accept that as part of the wording.
Okay, so the motion. Mary, the motion should be that we reverse the order of attendance in the New York and Berkeley signal areas, such that the fall meeting will be held in Berkeley, in the Berkeley signal area. And with waiving the union hotel requirement if necessary. Okay, that's open for debate. Who would like to speak in opposition?
Point of information, please. Who seconded that? I believe it was seconded.
Ms. Evelyn.
Thank you.
Okay,
Greg, have a point of information? I know in many cases where we use hotels, at least in some of the cases I remember, some of those hotels would throw in a meeting space either for free or for a nominal charge. Is it likely to be a situation in Berkeley?
Can someone answer the question?
I Could you repeat the question, please?
In the past, I remember different instances when we got, you know, whatever rates we could get in the rooms, and as part of a package deal, the hotel provided the meeting rooms for free or for nominal cost. Is it likely to be the situation at in Berkeley?
Ray, I'm not sure your point of information is germane to the motion, is it?
Well, if the rooms, I guess what I'm asking, when you talk about cost in Berkeley, are you talking about lodging only, or are you also talking the cost including a meeting space?
All the motion specifies is the signal area where we would meet, and the rest of it would be up to the folks organizing the meeting to cope with.
I'm saying that if cost is one of the items that I'm evaluating, I'd like to have an idea of what the cost is likely to be.
Okay, well, we'll ask Lonnie if you could give a suggestion on that. But first, I think Greg wanted to speak. So, Greg?
Well, I was asked a few moments ago just for more information on New York. I don't know whether that's relevant. Just to let you know, we don't know about the availability yet of St. John the Divine, but they are very close to one another, the hostel. There's about 3 minutes or 0.7 mile difference. The hostel is on, 103rd Street, and the St. John the Divine is on 111th. And for those in New York, wouldn't understand, it's at the top end of Central Park, basically.
Thank you.
So that gives you an idea. It would be quite close. It would be a walkable distance for many people. Not to influence your vote, and I'm not trying to.
Okay, we need a motion to extend time because we're at time.
No, extend time by 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Is there a second?
Second.
I second.
Okay.
Information. This is Michael.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I think there's a provisional consideration, and that is the status of the candidate, the ED candidate, and whether or not they'll be prepared to interview in September. Because I would like to suggest that we set this meeting, the fall meeting, for when the candidates are prepared to interview.
Okay. Well, this motion actually doesn't specify date, so that would be a separate question.
Thank you.
So I'd like to hear a debate. Is there anybody opposed to the motion to switch the order of the Berkeley and New York meetings?
Mr. Chairman, point of information.
Okay, I'll get information and then LaVarne.
This switching of the order of Berkeley and New York, is that only for this year?
Yes, it's a special rule of order for just these two meetings.
Okay, thank you.
LaVarne? Lisa, what's your point of information?
Yeah, this is LaVarne. Yeah, I think the point that Wendy is making is absolutely correct. WBAI issues need to be addressed. The PNB needs to show courage and appear there and try to address some of the issues there and not to run from them. And I think that anyone who has concerns, Evelyn, that I know people in New York who have a very nice home that's nearby. So there are alternatives that are close to St. John the Divine. And also I have this phobia, so if I'm willing to go with it, I mean, I can't. But again, the issue is that, we need to have the courage where there are issues to appear there as the PNB, as the bylaws actually are written, that we can't run from these issues. And in WBAI, issues are serious in terms of the budget, presenting a deficit budget, where does the money come from? We are not, as I've said before, Pacifica National Bank. So I think we absolutely need to appear in New York for the meeting. Thank you.
Dave, I need to correct what you said about the motion. My motion specified, I had said September, October. It's actually just September 28th, 29th, and 30th. My motion included the date, yeah.
You didn't say that.
Well, I said
September, October. I am now just correcting that to be specific, looking at the calendar. It's September 28th,
29th,
and
30th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Could you...
This is Bob.
Are you saying
that's when we scheduled the meeting? It's the currently scheduled meeting. Those are the dates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, before
anything
else, we already have.
That's correct.
Okay, Lisa had a point of information before Lauren spoke. Go ahead, Lisa.
I don't even remember it, so never mind.
Okay,
I don't remember.
Good. My brain's fading too. Bob?
Okay, well, certainly I would prefer to have the meeting in New York because there are a lot of key issues, and it's always important to have the people on the scene be able to personally talk to the PNB about whatever their concerns are. However, and also I would be fine with staying in a hostel, and I think that's the model we should look towards ongoingly wherever we meet. The cheapest possible facilities, comfort should not be the issue for the PNB. However, there's a serious problem with St. John the Divine, which Jane Jackson pointed out to us when we met there several years ago, which is that the bathrooms are not wheelchair accessible, and in fact, a colleague just checked their website and pointed out to me that they themselves say on their website that the bathrooms are not wheelchair accessible. So that makes it absolutely unacceptable as a meeting venue. And I can tell you from just the mere attempts of our LSB to find a venue for our, you know, three-hour meeting on an evening is very, very tough, let alone a three-day meeting in a large public space. So I don't think it's going to work in practical terms to have it in New York, even though that would be the better option.
Before we go on, Bob, can you clarify whether ongoingly is a word?
Ongoingly, it is a word.
You can make anything a word you want to make a word.
All right.
I have a substitute motion.
So then ongoingly, we continue the meeting.
Dave?
Yes.
I have a substitute motion.
Go ahead.
That the coordinating committee in the next week come up with a place for the PNB meeting that is not Houston, either Berkeley or New York.
Does the coordinating committee what?
Call an emergency meeting of the coordinating committee where we check out more options and choose either New York or Berkeley for the next PNB meeting, September 28th,
29th,
and
30th. So let's rephrase the motion. The motion would be that the board authorized the coordinating committee to select between New York and
Berkeley.
Berkeley as a venue for the next meeting.
Right.
Okay, and just so you know, from a procedural point of view, on our next teleconference, we'd have to formally adopt it as a special rule of order, but Wendy's point is that that would allow us to move quickly and let the folks planning the meeting act on a decision. So that's a substitute. Is there a second?
I'll second it. This is Margaret.
Oh,
okay.
Mary Berg, I'd like to speak to it.
I'm going to ask for who would like to speak in opposition because we're running out of time.
Mary Berg, I would.
Go ahead, Mary.
This delays it already. First place, it's not even certain we can get the coordinating committee to have any day at all next week. In second place, even if that happens, then we can't do anything till we get come to the next PNB teleconference. I think we'd better decide tonight. This is already so overdue. Our flights are going to be, if we keep to the September date, we're practically ready to go by that time. I'm really opposed to that. Let's just decide tonight. It's silly postponing things, and I think it's really irresponsible. It's already, we should have done this months ago.
This is Wendy.
So I'd like to proceed. I'm speaking very much against that. Let's just go ahead tonight.
Okay, who would like to speak in favor of the motion?
Can I motivate the motion?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my point is that we hadn't even heard as a body that there was a problem with the New York meeting at all until tonight. I happened to catch wind of it from someone who was on the Finance Committee that this was brought to them by the CFO, but the board has not had ample time to consider this at all. It was just, you know, just today was when one of our PNB members started investigating alternate things like let's have it at a church or community center and let's talk about having not staying at a luxury hotel. It would go a long way toward goodwill and following our own bylaws to actually meet in New York and actually show the world that we don't need to stay in a luxury hotel. And it's great that we are now talking about only alternating two different meetings, but the board has not had time to consider this, and I think it'd be rushing it through to talk about it tonight. We still have plenty of time
Well, if we do it in the next few days, we still have some time to get the reasonable airfares.
You're going to take more on the flight cost.
Can I get on the that? Hello?
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 I'll say yes. You're on.
Hello?
Mr.
Chair? Hello, hello.
Who is on? Is Dave on this call?
He must have been cut off.
Bumped off.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. What I was saying is we're at time and we need to move to a vote.
Yes.
So will you call the unless there's a motion to extend time, and we have
I
lot
like
on our plate still.
We do.
I'd like to extend time by 5 minutes.
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, we have 5 more minutes.
Can I speak? I mean, it's not necessarily.
I'm going to take somebody in opposition.
Okay.
We just heard in favor. Who would like to speak in opposition?
Dave, Bob.
This is.
You're asking in opposition to Lydia's motion.
No, to the
referral to the coordinating committee.
Oh,
actually, to allow the coordinating committee to decide.
Okay.